When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app. Listen to KJM on your smart speaker. Say play ESPN Radio. You can download the podcast, popular and growing podcast. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Key is into the music today.
He's always in. We're always into the music on this show.
Yeah, but especially today. It's pronounced today.
No, I'm always, man. Yeah. It's early in the morning, and you feel good. It's the middle of the week for me, and you know, I'm ready to go. Yeah, ready to go, Maxie.
Tuesday still feels like the beginning of the week to me.
Well, I said for me. See, there's a difference.
Oh, are you up? Oh, okay.
That's going to be the big adjustment. That's going to be the big adjustment after Labor Day, right? Like, oh, back to 5
yeah,
a
that,
week.
Yeah, that yeah, one. Yeah, yeah. 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 That's the adjustment, Max.
Everybody's frequency just went, ah.
Yeah.
You got to get it while you can get it, man.
Get it now.
Get it while you can, because they ain't going to give it to you if you don't take it.
So, that's right. And so.
Who was this up the bat for the.
Who are you looking
the
at?
The Mets. He looked like he's about 800 pounds. Just hit a jack. Oh, Vogelback, that's who it is.
So we were just talking about Kenny Pickett. And I was wondering, which quarterback? Pickett is a guy drafted middle, late first round. And he goes to Mike Tomlin, who is, I think it's fair to say, certainly a top five coach, maybe a top three active NFL coach, along with Bill Belichick and Andy Reid. He checks all the boxes. He won a Super Bowl. He has never been below 500 in his entire career, including
Mason Rudolph.
Yeah, I would
say he's a top five coach right now, active.
Right?
Yeah, right.
And or Bill Belichick, the GOAT, right, but hasn't won a playoff game in 2 years since Brady left. Which quarterback is in a better – which mid-first-round pick quarterback who kind of fell into their laps is in a better situation? Mac Jones, who came from a Belichick coaching tree type guy, and Saban – and then he gets right into the Patriots' lap. Or Kenny Pickett, who was right there. He didn't even have to change locker rooms. Like, right there, fell into Mike Tomlin's lap. Who's in a better situation, Key, Mac Jones or Kenny Pickett?
I would say it's Mac Jones. I think Mac Jones is in a better situation just because, for whatever reason, Belichick, I feel like Belichick puts an emphasis in the quarterback position a little more than Mike Tomlin in the Pittsburgh Steelers. And maybe that was because of Ben Roethlisberger and that luxury. Although, even though Bill Belichick had the luxury of Tom Brady for 20 years, he still was able to develop backup quarterbacks that went on to become starters for teams and trades and things of that nature. Whether it was, I could just name three off the top of my head, Jimmy Garoppolo, Matt Castle, and Jacoby Brissett. I can't point to any backup quarterbacks that had gone on from Pittsburgh behind Ben Roethlisberger to be starters and have their own team for a number of years. I could do that with Belichick, but I just think offensively the philosophies is a little bit different. Pittsburgh's going to be what Pittsburgh is. They're going to do the same thing
How is it different?
Belichick rotates from week to week on what he wants to do game plan-wise on the offensive side of the ball. Because Mike Tomlin is going to run first, play action pass, and play defense. You may look and see an adjustment period like you saw 2 years ago with Cam Newton, or you may see an adjustment period like you saw a year ago when it started bad weather. They didn't even do anything except run the ball against the Buffalo Bills. They didn't even think about throwing the ball.
It's very tailored to whatever's in front of them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's very tailored to whatever's in front of them, where we know going into a game what Pittsburgh is going to do.
I got one thing about Pittsburgh, though, that I think Mike Tomlin gets a little bit of a bad rap for, Key, is you can say that, hey, it's Pittsburgh. He's got the job at the press conference. He goes, run the ball, stop the run. You know, Pittsburgh, Steelers football. But I look at whatever Tomlin's had. Sometimes he doesn't have an O-line. sometimes he has fast wideouts and he plays like, you know, five out type, you know, like matchup type football. Sometimes he doesn't have a secondary. Sometimes he doesn't have the running game because of the O. But somehow he squeezes wins out, right? Like the team is.
Well, that's why he's the top five coach, Max. Mm-hmm. That's why he's in the top five.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, three guys, Belichick, Andy Reid, Sean McVay, have all won Super Bowls recently. Mm-hmm. Mike Tomlin hadn't won one in, a decade. So it's been a minute. He's always competitive and always in the mix despite what hand he's dealt. That's why he's a top five quarterback. Is he sitting at three? Is he sitting at four? I mean, that's for people to debate. But he's a top five guy, and if you're in the top five out of 32, I think that's a pretty good percentage, right?
Yeah.
It's hard for me to really determine like who has more upside because I've seen Mac Jones already, and I've heard people from that locker room say the way he commands the locker room. We talk a lot about why Baker Mayfield won the job with the Carolina Panthers because he came in and he owned the room. I hear people talk about him that way in Mac Jones. I see the talent that Kenny Pickett has. I just don't know where that evolution is with him owning the locker room and leading men. I think that also factors into a key, right? Like what that development process is and who helps you do. Like, I don't know. Sometimes some guys just have it.
Mac Jones was a more successful college quarterback. He went 15. The people were rumored as he could go as high as 3 to San Francisco at the time. Pickett went 20. The thought was maybe he doesn't go in the first round. Mac Jones was a little hotter prospect coming out.
I don't think Mac Jones is really going to be taken that high. I think it was just used as leverage, right?
I don't know. He went 15. He was the fifth guy in a competitive draft class, and he still went middle
like
of the
Shanahan
first round.
Saying, oh, we could take Mac Jones and all that talk around it. I mean, come on.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max is brought to you by CSX. Earn great pay and benefits at CSX, csx.com/careers. So, here is Keyshawn Johnson. I don't know if you're familiar with his work, Jay. He is one of the stars on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, fantastic radio show on ESPN Radio, on the Jets head coach. Listen to this.
I think the bigger problem, more so than the talent, because I think Joe Douglas has done a tremendous job assembling their young talent and trying to build. They got some talent. I think the coaching. I just don't trust Robert Saleh. I know a meter that people would use as BS meter, and I just see it in Robert Saleh. It looks good. We want him to be successful. How great his defenses are, but he just doesn't strike me as a guy who, like, he's built for the head coaching position.
Jay, Key doesn't think he's built for the head coaching position.
I would just ask why.
Well,
Key, I mean, he said the BS meter. That's interesting, right?
Yeah. Is there something specific you can point to, Key? Is it?
Yeah, well, it's just look, I think he's a great defensive coordinator. I think a lot of players will run through a wall for him. There's no question about it. But I don't see where he is built to be a head coach, and I could be totally wrong. I look at in-game decisions and adjustments. I watch them assemble talent, but they look the same and sometimes even worse than the same. They haven't gotten better.
But there's some sense you're getting when you see him. When you say the BS meter, you mean guys in the locker room are going to pick something up that you're picking up that tells them
It's not BS meter as far as he is. Like, his concern, like, he's not putting that out there. But I think it's the people who wants him to succeed in the media, things of that nature. They want to sell you on something. And if they're selling you hard enough, you start buying it. And I'm just not buying it that he is a coach that all of a sudden, because he came from the 49ers on the Super Bowl appearing team and they had pretty good defenses with pretty good players on it, that is going to be the same. Overnight success. In the New York market for the New York Jets, I don't believe that they have the time and the luxury to sit around and wait 2 and 3 more years for this to develop into something. A lot of it factors into Zach Wilson not being healthy to really get a full picture of everything. But even without that, you see coaches and even young coaches make decisions and coaching decisions and get wins out of their teams, even though they're lacking some performances. You see growth. You see those sort of things. You go and you look at Philadelphia. Nick Sirianni was taken to the woodshed a year ago by a lot of Philadelphia Eagle fans at the beginning of the season and going into the season, but he came out on the back end and you started to see, oh, okay, they're going to make these adjustments and they're going to do all the right things to get their team going in the right direction despite what we may think. Or you see other guys like a Sean McVay come in as a young head coach and hit the ground running with the Rams, quite frankly, at the time, had some talent on the team, but Jeff Fisher was the coach. They couldn't get out of their own way. So I'm trying to see where Robert Saleh brings that. Where have you seen it at, Matt? Have you seen anything?
No, I can't. If you want me to answer honestly where I see the Jets or getting ready to turn the whole thing, I have not. Anthony Beck, New York Jets pre- and post-game host and head coach of the XFL franchise in St. Louis, is with us now. What's your reaction, Anthony, to Key on Robert Saleh not it for the Jets?
Good morning, first off, guys. Man, Key, I got to disagree a little bit just because you talk about what they're trying to build and what they're doing. This is a completely revamped roster in really just 2 years' time. I think that you start at the top with Joe Douglas, getting the players that come in that completely don't understand the losing culture of this team, maybe the last decade, and turning that around. You got players now that have been, I believe the number was like over 40-plus playoff games, 10 Super Bowls with the current guys that were brought in, free agents, and then, of course, some of these top-tier rookies. So, you know, for Robert Saleh, yeah, there's no doubt. What has he done for me lately? Nothing. I mean, he hasn't done anything with the Jets yet because there's a little bit more of a process. It will take some time. This is not an organization that was built in the past, and you know this, Key, that can turn it on in 1 year, a year and a half, 2 years' time. This is a place where right now they have a quarterback that's young, and I agree with you on that point. Zach Wilson is the key to this whole ship. If Zach doesn't pan out, then all these moves probably won't mean anything. All the turnaround, all the new talent, all the, you know, the young players that were brought in from the draft that are exciting and a lot of buzz on paper, this team is much better. But it will come down ultimately, guys, to the quarterback. And that's really what I'm looking to see as this season goes on. And the injury doesn't help. I know it's a short amount of time, and they had a scare. It could have been longer. But, you know, Zach has to come in, and he needs every rep. He needs preseason reps. He needs all kinds of reps with these new players because he needs to make the biggest jump of any player in this organization.
When I assess head coaches in general, I don't just assess the talent around them. I assess the coaching staff. I assess how they go about doing things to get situations. I watched about 2 minutes of the preseason game last night. And I've been around some of the greatest minds in football as head coaches, personnel people. And when I'm watching the game last night before the half, on two straight consecutive plays, Denzel Mims is one-on-one on the bottom of the screen. My offensive coordinator doesn't have the mindset to realize it's the preseason. I need to see a Denzel Mims as a guy. But yet and still, I don't target him in one-on-one matchup. To me, that's a head coach that recognizes that and says, you know, we need to see what this kid is about. Because if we can't see what he's about, then we're going to wind up prematurely cutting him. So for me, when I look at that, I'm like, that's a head coach to me that can – take care of the entire flow of everything going on around them. And then I go back to last year, Anthony Beck joining us here on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max this morning. I look at last year, in the middle of the season, you bring in a quarterback coach and kick the offensive coordinator upstairs. It just that to me is not preparation. And that falls back on the head coach. That's all I'm saying. Now, he may go on to be Don Shula for all I know. I don't know that. But as of right now, what I'm seeing, I'm just not seeing enough.
Yeah, there's a process. I mean, there is excitement as far as the player. I know the players embrace and love what Robert Saleh brought to the table so far. But you're right. Ultimately, he's going to be judged by the decisions in game he makes, by the wins and losses. Ultimately, that's how we're all judged as players and coaches. And listen, you're right. Okay, yeah, you know, Mims is a guy, you want to see what he's got. Key, it's his third year, man. Like, you know, we've been waiting for him. He's a second-round pick. Like, how long does it take to figure out if he can do something? You know, he should have brought something to the table his first year. Yeah, he was battling some things, some injuries and stuff last year. But you're talking about a guy that, you know, we're waiting for him to turn the lights on. You know, the last preseason game, he had two drops in the game. How many chances do you get a guy? And, yeah, you put him in a circumstance and an opportunity to win, but now you're like, okay, well, let's go to this other guy and see what he can do too. So it's preseason. If it was the first game, second game of the year, and you're right, they got that matchup and they're not making those adjustments, of course you can hammer a coach for doing that. I think Mike LaFleur did a pretty damn good job in the back end of the season. Actually going up into the box helped them, you know, calling plays on the back end of the year where they showed some sign of life in the second half of the season, whereas the first half just didn't really click. Zach didn't look good. So, again, you know, all those things and that you're saying could end up being true. I'm willing to give him that opportunity as we go into this season because now it's just a different roster. There's really no excuses now. Like you said, to make those kind of mistakes or those decisions, now your team's in a place where you feel like you have some talent. Now you got to go out there and show it.
Anthony, I may be wrong, but it feels like between Joe Douglas and Robert Saleh and Zach Wilson that they're all kind of tied together to a degree. When you say you need to see a major leap from Zach Wilson, what do you think you need to see by the end of this year from him and how that relates to the team's record that would make you think that Joe Douglas would maintain his job going into the following season?
Yeah, honestly, you know, when I say leaps, it's more smaller things that I want to see. You know, how about layups? You know, the easy completions. You know, I played around a lot of quarterbacks in my career. You know, 12 different years that I've had, I have multiple quarterbacks. You know, accuracy is the key. Getting the ball into the playmaker's hands. They have playmakers around this kid now. They got three tight ends. It's been a minute now, and Key knows this since the Jets had some tight ends that can actually give you something on the field. So, you know, you got options now for him to get the ball down, check it down if it's not there, not force. You know, everybody talks about the special kind of flair and the movement and the off-balance throws that he has the potential to do. I don't want to see a lot of that. I want to see him just go for the framework of the play. I thought he kind of overdid it. I think last year all you heard last year was from Zach and from the coaches how all these questions he asked, these advanced questions that he wanted to know about the different defenses and the looks. Honestly, I don't even go there yet. You don't need to worry about all that yet. Like, get the easy ones, knock the easy ones down. You know, if the one's not there, don't worry about all the complexities of the defense. Is it one there and they give it to you? Give it to them. If it's not, hit the next guy, and if it's not there, check it down to the back. So sometimes we overcomplicate what the quarterback has to do. It's the hardest position in sports. There's no question about it. But when you're talking about coming in as a young player, you know, you're going to understand and learn the complexities of the defense of the NFL as your experiences grow. But early on, if you've got those pieces to just get it where it needs to be, do that. If he just does that, he can jack up his completion percentage a lot more. He can be more productive and, quite frankly, get more plays, move the chains. That's what this team needs, and then ultimately that can help him become a better player, and then we'll see. You know, the more snaps, the more plays, the better accuracy. Now you're talking about a guy that's putting your team in a position to maybe play better football.
Anthony Beck, New York Jets pre- and post-game host and head coach of the XFL franchise in St. Louis. Anthony, the XFL franchise in St. Louis, what made you get into coaching and what type of team do you think are you hoping to establish there?
Yeah, you know, this started a long time for me, you know, playing 12 seasons in the NFL. You know, when I went on the back end teams the last 5 years for coaches like Kim Wisenhunt, Todd Haley, you know, Scott Linehan, I was brought in to really galvanize a tight end room, help a locker room get better. Help the leadership of those football teams and, you know, just bring guys along. And that's something that always captured me. You know, I had a lot of options when I came out of and retired from the game. You know, coaching was one of them, NFL, college side. I decided, obviously, to get in the media with ESPN, called college football, learned a ton more about the college game and the players and really went about my business in a coaching manner, my preparation week to week to really examine football and really advance myself. And, you know, I was a part of the AAF several years ago in 19 under Mike March. I learned a lot under him, took me under his wing. And, you know, he basically sat me down and said, you need to get out of the media and start coaching. You got a lot of knowledge to bring to the table. And quite frankly, the timing wasn't right for me, for my family or my son and my daughter and where everybody was. But now's the time for me. You know, I've been dabbling in it a lot. I think I was the right fit for a lot of the vision that, you know, Danny Garcia, Red Bird, and Dwayne Johnson had for this league. And, you know, ultimately, when they got the league in August of 2020, I basically said to myself, I need to be a head coach in that league. And I just went on a mission to get in front of the right people and sell, you know, what I thought is, you know, something that I want to do my way and something that I wanted to go about my way. So what I'm looking for in St. Louis is, you know, I got to get players. We're locating now the talent. We've had showcases. We're trying to, you know, watch these preseason games, which, you know, last night probably wasn't an important game for a lot of fans, guys, but that was my Super Bowl because a lot of those players are guys that I'm going to be bringing on my football team. So we're scouring right now the talent, and, you know, we had the draft in November. So, you know, putting a great staff together, number one, I owe that to the players. I think it's the purest form of coaching in the spring league where guys have chips on their shoulders. They're hungry for knowledge. When I was in the AAF in that spring league, I saw guys that were just begging and dying to get any information and learn as much as possible to reach the goal, the pinnacle, in the NFL. And that struck a chord with me. So I'm excited about the opportunity, and I can't wait to get started. We've already kind of got going here with evaluations and coaching staffs, and the season will come fast. And I'm looking forward. It's a great feeling for me to get this chance, and I'm humbled to have it.
Thank you, Anthony Beck. Best of luck. Anthony Beck, ladies and gentlemen, here on Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, ESPN Radio. Finally, the Yankees get a big win. Finally, they beat the Mets. Does this mean they've righted the ship?
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who have experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
From your radio to your smart speaker and phone.
Now playing ESPN Radio.
Or watch on ESPN2. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Live weekday morning starting at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN2.
Brian Cashman, guys, continues to believe strongly, he says, in Aaron Boone. Yankees manager Aaron Boone. Cashman said this at the presser yesterday about believing in this Yankees team that he put together and was cruising along until it hit a rough patch, especially it was noticeable around the trade deadline, where, and this has not really affected the team yet, unless it's chemistry. He traded Jordan Montgomery, a lefty, came up through the farm system, showed he can pitch in the Bronx, for Harrison Bader, a center fielder who's like a Gold Glove caliber guy, but maybe hits well enough to stay in the lineup, or maybe not, and is hurt until September. Reminded me of the Ted Lilly trade, where you had a lefty who proved he could pitch in the Bronx, came up in the system at least late, you know, in his minor league career, And you know, Cashman wanted to get a little better and traded him in a deal for Jeff Weaver, who obviously, as it turned out, could not pitch in the Bronx. Did he do the same thing with Jordan Montgomery? Did it mess with chemistry? Is this Aaron Boone's fault, what happened to the Yankees? Is it just injuries? The team was racked with injuries after being injury-free for so long. Here's Cashman at the presser.
Group's got my belief. I believe strongly in them. I think they're still capable of everything we ever hoped and dreamed. And but we have to weather the storm first and foremost. Yesterday was a nice win, but we need to string together obviously a lot as we move forward here and earn our playoff spot and then take our shot.
That's more than that, man.
I think the best thing that they can do, though, is clinch the division and then hit the reset button from there because it's a second season. First season's over with. October starts the second season. Try and get healthy. The bats need to come around. Aaron Judge obviously hit the homer yesterday. But in general, it's all about manufacturing runs. And the pitching has been okay. The pitching hasn't been atrocious. But they haven't manufactured any runs, whether it's long ball or short ball, Max. And you know if you're not manufacturing runs, you can't win games, no matter what the pitching is, because if the pitching is subpar, then you got to score enough runs. But if your pitching is tight and you're not getting any runs and the other team is, you know, 2-0, 3-0, 1-0, that makes it tough on the pitching.
I was going to say, Max, too, it felt like with the Yankees, it was a combination of two things. Number one, you're getting a ton of bats, right? And number two, like, you were healthy, right? So both those things. And by the way, it talks about how challenging it is to play with such a significant lead, right? With being up so many games, the challenge. It felt like it was inevitable that you would go through a little bit of a slump, but as Key said, getting to that next postseason.
Been a horrific slump, though.
Agreed. I agree with you. But it was, I mean, even what Cashman said the other day is like, you get bouquets when you come up when things are flying high, and then you get slings and arrows when things are going well, when things aren't going that well. It's like, how do you get through this rough patch and then reset, recalibrate, and get ready for the postseason?
Yeah, I mean, look, who are the guys who can put the ball in play? Guys like LeMahieu who've been out. And, you know, and sure, that absolutely makes a difference in a three true outcomes league where everyone's swinging for the fences, strikeout, walks, or home runs. It pays to have some guys who can put the ball in play. One of the reasons they traded for Benintendi, who had a big game last night, was because he got back to being a line drive hitter. Mm-hmm. He puts the ball in play, and it mixes nicely with what the Yankees have. Plus, he's a lefty. He plays gold glove caliber defense in left field, the whole thing. How has Cashman been dealing with the criticism?
Get the slings and arrows when things aren't going well, and that's just the nature of the beast. There is no in between. You know, it's just either one or the other. And you know, I know I'd rather have the good stuff coming. So it's our job. You know, you hear it loud and clear. We know it and we feel it, and it's our job to find a way to be flying high and make sure that the product out there is something that everybody's excited about. And so that's the challenge, and the challenge upon us is deal with the adversity and get through this sooner than later. But, you know, it's easier said than done.
You know, my criticism of Cashman is this as a Yankees fan. The bottom line is he's been GM now for over 20 years, this whole century, 21st century. And the arch rival Red Sox got four World Series to the Yankees one. It means you're failing as the GM. I don't care how, if you're better than every GM in the world, but the Red Sox, except for the Red Sox GM, you're failed as a Yankees GM. Because it means there's someone better than you. The Dodgers probably have the best front office in baseball now. That's why they've been overall the best team.
Who got the best what?
The Dodgers have the best, when they hired Friedman away from Tampa, have the best front office in baseball, which is why, since they hired Friedman, if you have to pick a team to say that's the best team in baseball year in and year out, it's the Dodgers. The Dodgers, you want to say the Astros are right there, but they cheated. It's the Dodgers.
But so, here's what I would say about Cashman, though. He's not out on the field getting hurt.
No, he's a good GM, don't get me wrong. He's just not the best.
Every organization isn't going to have the best.
I don't care, but none of them should have it except the Yankees. They need to have the best. If they don't have the best, get rid of the guy, get the best. You know, I mean, that's how I feel about it.
But if I'm the best, I'm happy where I'm at. You can't just because it's pinstripes doesn't mean I'm coming.
I'll triple your salary. How's that? Like, the point is, at some point,
you can't triple my salary because then they're going to double it and I'm happy.
The point is that Cashman has done a good job, but for the Yankees, it's not good enough. And I don't want to hear excuses anymore. every year that goes by that they don't win the World Series. I almost said the Super Bowl, the World Series. Like this, he put together a very nice team, but he made some real decisions at the deadline, and we will see if they pan out or not. The dude he traded for a Gold Glove caliber center fielder is a lefty named Jordan Montgomery. I'll say it again. I've been talking about him all year. He's good when he's healthy. He's just been injury prone. He's having a very good season. You know what he's been for St. Louis since the trade? 4-0 with a .35 ERA. And with a shutout, a complete shutout.
You know, I think when you start talking about managers and personnel people and things like that about doing their jobs, you've got to build teams that you assemble should be able to beat the teams that's your nemesis.
Yeah.
That's how I judge them.
Yes, me too.
But that's been what – I mean, they've pretty much gone back and forth with the Sox. But
no,
the
not
Rays,
this century. No, Sox got four. Got four. The Yankees got one World Series championship. In this,
you going,
Cashman been the GM the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
See what I'm saying, Key? So for any other franchise, they're in first place a lot.
I mean, Houston and Tampa Bay is what came to mind for me, not necessarily Boston.
Oh, Boston's the whole shoot. The Yankees, you have one job, other than win the World Series, be better than the Red
Sox. I know, but Houston and the Rays for a minute seem like they've been a thorn in their side.
Yeah, they're very good franchises, no doubt about it. No doubt about it. Friedman, who's the Dodgers GM now, left a front office intact, like left a system intact in Tampa that still works. Like the dude you got in L.A. right now is so good, Key, that the fingerprints he left in Tampa are still paying dividends.
Jerry Westlake.
Yeah, man. GM Brian Cashman. All right, Cash, good but not good enough. Baker Mayfield gets the starting nod for the Panthers opener. Can he recapture the promise he once showed in Cleveland? Keyshawn J. Will and Max, ESPN Radio.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
From your radio to your smart speaker and phone.
Now playing ESPN Radio.
Or watch on ESPN2. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Live weekday morning starting at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN2.
See these 2022 NFL evaluations or valuations according to Forbes. By the way, let me just say this about Forbes. They always underestimate. Whenever you see Forbes say, oh, the Clippers are worth $1 billion, then they sell the next day for $5 billion. You know what I mean? They always, when I see the Forbes valuations, Key J, I always think it's higher than the number that they have estimated.
And they right, got slightly, though. It's not something is $3 million and they evaluated at $7 million. I mean, they're going.
What did they have the Clippers at when Sterling sold it, when he was forced to sell it?
It was $1 million. It was $1.5 billion. And
and what did it sell for? 2.4 or something?
Yeah, but he went over and above. He just wrote the check because he wanted the team. He didn't care. When you uber rich like that, I get what I want. It doesn't matter. I'm not looking for the bottom line and returns. We'll get there.
Yeah, but
I got enough money.
He also saw the upside, though, because he's building the whole arena in England.
Yeah, I got enough money.
Right? So there's upside shopping market.
If I spend $2.5 billion and I make $300 million over the next several years, okay,
yeah,
fine.
Yeah, right.
I'm okay. I'm not going to be at home standing outside underneath the freeway with a tin can. That's the way they think.
But that's that. The Dallas Cowboys, like, if someone wants to own a team, and a lot of times it's a vanity play for these uber, as you say, rich billionaires, right? Where, you know, like, whoa, if he sells it, yeah, but if you had all the money in the world, what would you do? Probably buy an NFL team if you're a big football fan, as many people are. And the Dallas Cowboys are the name brand. The valuation is $8 billion for the Dallas Cowboys.
See, I don't know. Billion. I don't know if I had all the money. Well, I guess because I played football, I would do it. But if I was just a uber rich dude that, like, if I'm Jeff Bezos, come on, man.
I'd buy the Yankees if I was Jeff Bezos.
I don't have time. I could go to my friend's box and sit there.
No, but
with
I want to own the Yankees.
Max.
Come on.
I own the Yankees. I'm sitting with Max, who owns them. I don't have time to be worrying about Cashman, and I got so much other stuff to worry about.
I will say it is a big ego play whenever you come into the sports world, though, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because well, first off, I mean, Jeff Bezos is worth more money than God himself. But
yeah,
still,
right.
It feels like you're doing that for the clout
bill.
Of that I own.
I could buy the whole league.
Yeah. Let me buy the NFL.
So, well, could you buy the whole league? Listen to this. Cowboys, 8. Patriots, 6.4. I would dispute that. I think now that Brady's not there, I don't know if it's – but it's they value at 6.4. That is according to Forbes. That's 14.4.
Right.
Hold on.
Right to Brady. You see that?
Rams, yeah. 6.2. Right, L.A., because a lot of it's also a real estate play. I believe that, L.A. real estate. The Giants, $6
billion. Yeah, I don't know about that one because of Eli. He's not there anymore.
The Bears, $5.8 billion. Guys, do the math. We're at 14.4, 20.6, 26.6. What did I say, 20? 27, 32.4 just from the top five teams, $32.4
billion. Yeah, Bezos could buy it. Elon Musk, write the check.
We were just talking about the valuations and forth. What?
I just was thinking. I was like, you said you don't know about the Patriots, $6.4 billion. I'm like, eh.
Well, we're talking about the NFL valuations, Forbes, the 2022 NFL valuations. And I always think Forbes underestimates because whenever I see a team sold, it's almost always over what Forbes, you know, what their valuation of the team was. But the Cowboys are number one, $8 billion, first franchise ever to be worth $8 billion. The Patriots second at 6.4. I don't know why the Patriots would be worth that much. That whole history is very attached to Tom Brady, who's not there anymore. And it's not like the real estate's worth what Los Angeles or New York real estate's worth. So I would dispute that the Patriots would be second. I would guess Cowboys won at $8 billion. Now, the Rams are third at 6.2 and the Giants at 6 are fourth because a lot of this is a real estate deal, right? Like, a lot of the team's value is wrapped up
in
the Patriots, real estate they got.
But Patriots got a lot of real estate and Patriot Place and all the stuff that goes on there. Just like so all these teams have real estate, major real estate play. Like the Dallas Cowboys, for instance, the star out in Frisco, Texas, you've never seen anything like it in terms of facilities. Not just their practice facility, but everything, the hotel, the restaurants, the shopping, the indoor practice facility stadium that the high schools use on Friday nights, all that factors in to the valuation of these numbers. And the Rams are doing something very similar. All of them kind of align themselves with doing the same things. They have an experience now, not just a stadium and a parking lot.
Yeah. By the way, if they were worth $200 million when Jerry Jones bought them, now they're worth $8 billion. But the bottom line is it was $200 million in dollars 25 years ago. So, you know, it's not $8 billion back then, but it's like over a billion now. I don't care what the exact numbers say. $200 million back then got you in real estate easily what a billion gets you now, probably even more than that. Sam Acho, ESPN football analyst, with us now in the flesh at the Seaport. What's up, Sam?
What up?
What up, baby?
Hey, even if it's over a billion, it ain't $8 billion.
Right.
So, you know what I mean?
It's
like,
gone up. The NFL has grown and grown and grown.
Yes.
Man, he bought the team for about $200 million, but he didn't even write the check. That's the crazy thing.
Who wrote the check?
Leveraged a lot of it. You know, he had investors and all sorts of stuff. I think Jerry put something like in real money out of his pocket. I feel like he only parted ways with about $20 million, and out of the $20 million, a portion of it was borrowed.
He's one of the smartest. I don't know if we're going here now. He's one of the smartest business dudes I've ever met. And even like talk about like, and I, you know, NFLPA negotiate. I was vice president for some years and negotiated with him, CBA, all that kind of stuff. Even little stuff, like he would leverage his position within the NFL to almost like change rules that were in his favor as opposed to other teams. Little stuff like.
Like what? What's
like, I think about like the preseason games, right? Like he would, you watch games. No one wants to watch the preseason. Why? Because there's no fan. I mean, you might say it's backups. Ain't no fans in the stands. Nobody's in there. So his whole deal is like, let me get stadiums like this. Let me fill up our stadium. Because when it looks fuller, when people are like excited about something, there's this hoopla. There's this uproar.
TV ratings go up. TV money goes up.
Bingo. Money.
And we ain't got to pay the players for it even.
You know what I'm saying? Seats and chairs, right? Like all that stuff. And so, you know, there's so much there. But and people talk a lot of good or bad or whatever about Jerry Jones. When it comes to business, he's one of the most shrewd businessmen.
He turned $20 million to $8 billion.
But and one of the best. Like we're still talking about how great the Cowboys are. Whether he like we believe that he cares about the Cowboys. They haven't won in 25 years.
But we believe he went for the Chargers before the Cowboys.
Right.
Which
right.
is the crazy part.
Right. But we believe, like, we still believe the Cowboys, America's team, and Dak and Zeke and my O-line and whatever, even though they haven't won. And so, for me, I just, like, as far as running a team, as far as, like, you know, I'm the GM, I'm the president, all that stuff, I don't know about all that. But as far as running a business, I mean, a lot of people should take notes.
Yeah. Mm. Cowboys.
He's done a tremendous job at running that team.
A good job. A good job, Key. I mean, a good job. Tremendous.
Tremendous job, man. Y'all, I understand they haven't won in 25 years.
Or advancing the playoffs, though, really.
But from a standpoint of taking that team and that organization from where it was to where it is today and where the league was and where it is today and him being a very important part of all of that, I mean, the reason stadiums are bigger and bigger and more glamorous is because of Jerry's World. He created that. Then all of a sudden, everybody else want to pop up and build a bigger and nicer stadium.
Yeah, but that's to Sam's point. It's like, running it as a business, no doubt.
No, I understand that. But in terms of football?
Yeah, good.
They have picked some really good players.
But Key, B+, right? It's not an A. It's a B+. As a GM, he's a B+.
Hey, man, look, if somebody told me that I could be a B+ owner of an NBA or NFL franchise for my entire career with a chance to become an A.
No, an A+ owner, a B+ GM, right? The problem with him as a GM is he's also the owner.
Well,
so
let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Like, let's think about this. Really. Robert Kraft, right?
Yeah.
A+ for you?
Owner? How could you say otherwise? He won all the
time. Because he got Tom Brady.
No doubt.
But that's because that was Bill Belichick that made that. It so much has to go right to be an A+
but Jerry
organization.
Jones, here's the thing about Jerry Jones, Sam. When he came into the league, he quickly made them really good. He was the dude who ushered in the salary cap. Yep. And on the same day he got that passed, signs Deion Sanders because he already had it in mind. I'm going to prorate the signing bonus.
And right.
Everyone's like, you can't do that. We have a salary cap. No, he figured it out and won some Super Bowls.
I mean, he's an A, man.
So he got ahead
he's an
of
a,
it.
Max.
But then once everyone caught on to the trick,
he's still
he hasn't
an a,
won
Max.
Since then.
We're still talking about the Cowboys.
Yeah, no, I mean
it's
as
not,
a GM.
It's not that
as
he hasn't won. It's just that the Cowboys have fallen into a situation that they haven't been able to get out of.
No.
They've gotten there and just haven't been able to get out of it.
They didn't fall into
Steelers,
it.
The Pittsburgh Steelers won under Mike Tomlin. Ain't been back since.
But, Key, they didn't fall into it. They put themselves into that situation. Jerry Jones doing all the interview. A lot of owners are in the background. They're not really saying too much. A lot of owners.
No, like, but a lot of the owners can't walk and chew gum at the same time.
But, Key, he got rid of
not,
Jimmy Johnson because of his
he
ego.
He knows football. Don't get it twisted. The man knows football.
But he did get rid of Jimmy Johnson, and
well, that was more of a
ego,
friends and ego,
and that's what gets in his way.
Bill Parcells ain't there anymore.
That's what gets in his way. That's why it's not an A. That's why it's a B+.
Yes.
Ego. I believe, man, my O line with Dak and with Zeke and with you know that it's like okay, what if Jason Witten? Let me not even go Jason Witten right now, but like people towards the end of their career, what if I need to make a change? No, man, this is my guy. This is my and that works to a certain extent, but there comes a time where you have to
But all owners and we'll move on from this, Sam. But all owners got their guys. Okay, think about the New York Giants. The New York Giants, what will the New York Giants have been if they got rid of Eli 3 years earlier?
It is amazing, Key, though. I'll say this about Jerry Jones. You're choosing to see the amazing part, which is what are the odds that an owner is going to be that good of a GM?
Yes.
That's amazing that he can do that.
Right.
On the other hand, as an owner in A+, as a GM, the owner gets in the GM's way, and so he kind of knocks his GM grade down a little bit. We've been talking about Baker. What do you think the ceiling is for him with the Panthers?
I don't think they're a playoff team, and I think that's because of the division that they're in, right? Like, everyone talks about Tom Brady, and we should, rightfully so. Few people, maybe a lot of them, few people talking about the Saints. Saints beat Tom Brady four of the last five times they played him? Saints beat the Bucks 7 out of the last 8 times they played them. So, like, the Saints could mess around and win that division, especially with the injuries at O-line for Tampa. So you have the Saints, you have the Bucks, and even a better Carolina Panthers team, I don't know if it makes the playoffs. And now all of a sudden, if you're not making the playoffs, what does that do for your, you know, the Panthers' kind of future?
Mm. In other news, I heard that the line for your book signing was pretty extensive. would you like to share? I mean, how many books did you sell?
Whole way around Lake Compounds is what the bird, a little
bird
says.
Well, I didn't know. Apparently ESPN does this amazing thing where they invite everybody from all over to this thing at Lake Compounds, which is in Bristol. And I wrote a book, right? Let the World See You, How to Be Real in a World Full of Fakes, sammachobook.com. It's also on Amazon. But long story short, I wanted to share it with people at ESPN. And so I ordered a bunch of books and I brought them. And initially I was going to do a certain amount, like the first 150 people. And then I heard there was like thousands of people at this event. Mm. And I was like, let's just bring them all.
Sam,
and so I just kind of signed.
You got like 10 seconds. What's it called again?
It's called Let the World See You, How to Be Real in a World Full of Fakes. It talks about what it means to be seen, to be known, to be
Where
loved.
Do they find it? We got
find
5
it,
seconds.
Find it at samachobook.com.
Much more KJM coming right up, ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.